It was just after midnight on December 3rd, 1984 in Bhopal, India, when 27 tons of highly toxic gases leaked from a pesticide factory. Over the next few days, up to 8,000 people died. More than 100,000 have been left with permanent health damage. December 2004 marks the 20th anniversary of that disaster. Despite worldwide recognition of the event, the factory grounds have not been cleaned up, and the groundwater in Bhopal is still contaminated, causing an ongoing health crisis. Rashida B. was one of the 500,000 residents of Bhopal who suffered through the horrifying chaos of that night.
उस रात में जब 12 बजे सब सो रहे थे आराम से अचानक ये
All of us were sleeping in the night. Suddenly we felt like we were being choked. There was terrible irritation and we did not know what was happening. So many people died that night and so many more unfortunate ones continued to live. We just started running in panic. People did not care about even each other. We just started running, and there was urine and feces running down our legs because we had all lost control. And the only thing we thought about was how to save our lives, how to get away from those clouds of poison. All we heard was that it was some gas. It was so strong and so irritating that we thought that someone had burned a lot of red chilies. Union Carbide was there, in our midst, but we did not know what the factory produced. We ran, and then we could not run anymore. And we sat down by the lake. We tried to open our eyes, but it was as if something had been rubbed into our eyes. When we pried our eyes open, we only saw dead bodies all around us. And some of us were taken to the hospital, but it was of no use, because all the doctors there did not know what had happened and did not know how to treat us.
The insecticide factory, operated by the local subsidiary UCIL in the central Indian province of Madhya Pradesh, was a poorly maintained facility with numerous major hazards.
In the immediate aftermath of the disaster, some of the people were so traumatized that they left everything that they had in Bhopal.
Nityanand Jaraman, journalist and volunteer with the International Campaign for Justice in Bhopal.
Many of the children who ran away from that place lost their parents, still haven't returned. So those guys are out at large. So they created an undisclosed number of refugees as a result of the disaster.
It was one of the world's worst chemical disasters, forcing the United States to re-examine how factories operate in the U.S. The U.S. chemical industry and federal regulators implemented new safety rules and standards, all to prevent another Bhopal from happening. Bhopal's tragedy is not just confined to that horrible night 20 years ago, but an ongoing tragedy ever since Union Carbide abandoned its factory. Champa Devi Shukla, another survivor turned activist, says her family has been plagued with health problems.
My father vomited blood that night and later died. My husband remains breathless till today and he has pain in his knees. I have constant headache. Sometimes my headache is so acute that I cannot work for 7-8 days. I have joint pain, breathlessness, burning sensation in the chest, and then I also have insomnia. If I do not take pills, I cannot sleep. 6 people in our family had died of different kinds of cancers. 1 person died of tuberculosis. And such painful diseases are there in almost every family in Bhopal today.
In addition to health problems resulting from exposure to these gases, there are other ongoing long-term health issues. Sathyu Sarangi of the Campaign for Justice in Bhopal says residents there are currently drinking highly contaminated water with mercury and heavy metals because Union Carbide dumped about 5,000 tons of chemical waste that leaked into the groundwater. Sarangi is also the managing trustee of Sambhavna Clinic, which treats survivors suffering from a host of ailments.
The death toll has mounted. It's more than 20,000 today. Today there are about 150,000 people who suffer from a range of illnesses like breathlessness, menstrual disorders, loss of appetite, body aches, joint pain, anxiety, panic attacks, depression, and a whole host of other diseases.
Sarangi's clinic published a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, reporting how the next generation is marked by these poisons.
So boys are physically retarded. They are thinner and lighter and have smaller heads than similar groups without parents' exposure.
Journalist Arman says the company negotiated a deal in secret with the Indian government for $450 million. That comes to less than $1,000 to each of the victims for lifelong injuries and life lost. Frustrated with the deal, survivors brought a criminal case against the company.
The criminal case charges Union Carbide Corporation, among other parties, for culpable homicide, which in American terminology translates to manslaughter. The company is charged with manslaughter but has not attended court even one day. What it did was skipped and took asylum in America. Union Carbide is now a proclaimed absconder in the eyes of the Indian government. But this proclaimed absconder, who is wanted for manslaughter in India, is allowed to do business and even list itself in the stock exchange. There's something wrong with the law.
The 20th anniversary of Bhopal continues to evoke strong emotions around the world, and rightly so. None of us at Union Carbide, including myself, will ever forget the scope of this tragedy. Union Carbide and the chemical...
The public relations firm Burson Marsteller, which specializes in representing large multinational companies like Chevron, said that Union Carbide was unable to comment directly in time for this report. But Burson Marsteller did provide the following audio soundbites, recorded by the Union Carbide spokesperson Tom Sprick. Most of Sprick's statements point the finger elsewhere, like blaming the accident on sabotage.
There is no question in the mind of Union Carbide that a disgruntled employee who introduced an unusually large amount of water into the tank of methyl isocyanate was responsible for causing the runaway reaction.
Or shifting responsibility onto its former Indian subsidiary, UCIL, which, according to Union Carbide, it owned more than half of.
I think it's important to understand the history of ownership of the Bhopal plant. The plant was managed and run by Union Carbide India Limited, a company owned by Union Carbide, Indian financial institutions, and private investors.
It is very difficult to make an American company pay when it's responsible. It is almost impossible to make it pay when it's not. So given the fact that out of the $470 million settlement, $20 million was given by the Indian subsidiary, and $450 million was paid by Union Carbide Corporation America, that in itself is a clear admission of the proportion of guilt borne by the two different parties. For the Union Carbide to say this now, that it is all the responsibility of UCIL, is just a consistency in its lying. It doesn't matter. This is legal hogwash.
In the middle of this fight, in 2001, Dow purchased Union Carbide. The victims and their advocates say that Dow, which is one of the largest chemical companies in the world, is now responsible for the actions of its subsidiary. On this 20th anniversary, the survivors are asking for a cleanup of the site, long-term health care, and economic support for survivors who can no longer work. They are also asking for the extradition of Union Carbide's former CEO, Warren Anderson, to face criminal charges in India. Rashida B., who's lost several family members to the tragedy, says she gets mad when she sees women and children at the hospital waiting for hours in long lines to see a doctor. And then the doctors don't have any time because they're seeing 200 patients an hour. That she sees people treated without dignity wherever she goes. She says this is what makes her determined to continue the battle.